It's 7 o'clock. I said that. It's over to Ed Stewart.
Thank you, kid, and welcome, everybody. Yes, this is Personal Call, your first chance at Radio 1 to give us a call with your questions and views to our guest of the week. Well, the number to jot down, if you've got a pencil or paper handy, is 580-4411, and 01 if you live outside of London, 4411. Helping me in the studio is Sue Cook, who will be introducing the topic for our first programme.
And our guest being a rather mysterious kind of lady, the topic's going to be mysterious too. Strange phenomena, unexplained mysteries, and in particular, reincarnation. So share any weird experiences you may have had, your views on psychic happenings. Do you think you might have had any past lives? The number again is 580-4411, and our guest is Kate Bush.
Yes, Wuthering Heights, and I'm sorry, Kate, that we have to fade that, because it's such a lovely song.
Oh.
But welcome, our first guest on Personal Call. And our first caller is on the line, so let's get straight ahead to you, Mark Woolcott from Rochester. Your question.
Hello?
Hello, Mark.
I'd like to ask Kate, some time ago in an interview, I think it was with Michael Aspel, she said that she preferred songwriting to singing. I was wondering if there was any danger of her giving up singing to concentrate more on her songwriting.
No, I don't think so, because I love songwriting, but I love singing even more sometimes, you know. It's just such a pleasure to be able to open your mouth and just let it all out. It's fantastic. I don't think I could ever stop doing that.
Oh, I'm glad about that.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
Okay.
Hello, Mark.
Okay, all right. Bye.
Bye. Jenny Reed.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Kate. I'd just like to ask you, how long does it usually take you to write your songs, you know, on average?
Ah, well, that depends. It depends if I've got a strong enough idea. I always have to have some kind of idea of the subject matter before I start writing. And sometimes it will just come out, and sometimes it will take me days, weeks, whatever. It's very, very unpredictable, and I just have to go with it, you know?
Yeah. Do you write the lyrics first for the music, or does it come together?
Well, if I've got a strong idea, I'll often have a couple of lyric lines that I just put music to and then work the rest in. Yeah. But normally the music comes first.
Yeah. And also, you know your tour.
Yeah.
I hope you come to Brighton, because if you are, I'll be in the front row, okay?
Oh, great. Yeah, I'll wave to you.
Thank you, Jenny. Well, actually, Kate has very kindly brought us in a tape of a piece of music you recorded. How old were you with this one, Kate?
Oh, I was about 15.
Do you mind if we play it to everybody?
I'll shut my ears, okay?
Will you? Okay. Would you like to introduce it?
Yeah, here it is. Flat note in the middle.
Oh, you mean we played it just in time?
No, you caught it actually, I'm sure.
I never noticed it. But how soon after that was it that EMI found you and signed you up?
It was about a year and a half after that.
Was it on the strength of that tape?
No, it wasn't. It was on the strength of the tape that came after that, but that song was actually on the tape that got me there.
So did you compose Wuthering Heights after you joined EMI?
Oh yeah, that was just before I made the first album, Wuthering Heights.
Okay, well, in the programme too, in Personal Call, we'll be playing some of the musical choices of our guests, so we'll play your first one in just a second. But we have John King from Rochdale on the line. Good evening, John.
Good evening.
Hello, John.
Good evening, Kate.
Hello.
I'd like to ask you, who has influenced you most on your music in the early part of your career?
Ooh, well, there's a lot to do with traditional music, because when I was a kid, that was always around me. But people like Brian Ferry and David Bowie, they were very strong influences because they were so new when they came out. They were such strong talents, you know. I really liked a lot of their stuff.
Also, what is your favourite song that you've recorded?
That I've recorded? Oh, I don't know. I guess I'm pretty pleased with Strange Phenomenon, actually. That was, and I'm not just saying that because that's on the show tonight.
Yeah, we've got that lined up in a minute because it's going to be quite relevant.
Yeah.
You'll find out. We've got another caller, though, just before we go into that. There's Martine Leroy on the phone. Hello, Martine.
Hello.
Hello, good evening. What would you like to ask Kate?
Where do you get the ideas from your songs from?
Mainly from people, actually. People are just full of songs, you know. If you just sit down and talk to someone, they come out with about four novels. Yeah, they're full of them.
James and the Cold Gun, you know?
Yeah, I think most of my songs have been inspired by people and things that people think about, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Martine.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Actually, Kate, you seem very advanced in your years. With some of the titles, I mean, for your first album, to call it The Kick Inside, and then Man with Child in His Eyes, I mean, these titles, they just come to you like that, a flash of inspiration, or did you think about titles like that?
Well, The Man with the Child in His Eyes just happened, and I think it had something to do with one of my nephew's books. I don't remember how, but that line just happened. And sometimes they just sort of get contrivedly written, you know what I mean? Sometimes they just happen.
Yeah.
Did you write a lot of poetry when you were young?
When I was at school, yeah, that was my thing. And then I got into songs, so I forgot about that then. It was much more exciting.
It's interesting that your first favourite record is a Beatles number. Why do you like that so much?
Well, that particular song, I think, is an absolute classic. I think it's brilliant. And the particular cover version, Brian Ferry, I think it's one of the best cover versions I've ever heard. Because so often it's just nowhere as good as the original song. And I think it's brilliant.
Okay. Shall we have a listen to it?
We should play it. It's She's Leaving Home.
It's a beautiful song, isn't it?
Has incredible, it, actually.
Has it any personal sort of meaning to you? You haven't left home, have you?
No, it's nothing personal. It's just whenever... I mean, that whole album, Sgt. Pepper, is just a phenomenon. It's an absolute classic, and all the songs in it are so beautiful. Yeah. And it's just good to hear a very, very excellent cover version, because often they lack something.
Yeah.
I think he's captured George Martin, the Beatles, everything. I think it's very clever.
Good. Yeah, it is a lovely track. Mm. And we've got four or five of your tracks, your favourites, in this evening. Which I'm glad to say, here on Personal Call, you're listening to Radio 1. It's just come out to 11 minutes past 7. Kate Bush is our guest. And 580-4411 is the number. 01 if you live outside of London, to have a chat with Kate. And we have somebody on the line now, Susan Binding from St Albans. Good evening, Susan.
Hello.
Hello, Susan.
Hi. I'd like to ask you what you do when you're not writing and recording songs.
Sleeping. yeah, that's normally what I do. Cook a meal, sit and watch telly. I don't get much time off, so when I get it, I just like to relax.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What do you cook?
Vegetable pies, curries, burnt curries, actually.
Well, they've got to be hot somewhere, haven't they?
Yeah.
Are you domesticated?
I try to be, yeah. I really like doing housework. I think it's very therapeutic, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You'll be a good wife?
Oh, I don't know about that. It's just, I think housework is an amazing craft. It's very creative.
So you enjoy keeping house to yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. All right, thank you, Susan.
Thanks very much.
Up to Scotland, to Aberdeen. Colin Gardner, good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Colin.
Hello, Kate. I would like to ask you how you're going to convey your music on stage. Will it be more theatrical than most sets, or...?
Uh-huh. Well, I can't really tell you much about that, because if I do, you won't bother to come and see it.
Oh, of course I will.
But I hope that you'll enjoy it. We're trying to get something a bit special, but...
Yeah.
I really can't say much about it.
Ah, sure, I understand.
Great.
Will you be going to watch?
Oh, of course I will, aye.
Yeah?
Give us a wave.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, I'll get you a wave.
Oh, terrific.
Thanks. We'll take another call. It's Adele Almascati, I think, from Hull. Hello, Adele.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Kate.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you, before I ask you, I would like to say it's really a great pleasure, you know, talking to you on the phone this evening.
Oh, it's really nice to talk to you.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you, what made you think of starting your movement dancing?
What, moving and dancing while I'm singing?
Yeah.
Well, that was really inspired by a person called Lindsay Kemp, who I saw few years ago in an amazing stage show, and I'd just never seen anything like it. This guy was moving without saying anything, and the whole audience were just completely lost, you know. They were just mad over him. And I'd never seen anything so inspiring, and I thought that maybe if I could move and sing at the same time, maybe I'd be able to get across that sort of emotion. It's just something I'm trying.
Didn't you have it in school or anything?
I'm sorry?
Didn't you study in school or anything?
Yeah, I trained for a couple of years at a dance school after that, but it wasn't really mine, it was more modern dance. But I learnt an awful lot from that, I really did.
Oh, I'd like to ask you one more question. You know, if I want to start, you know, I'm sort of going into movement dance, and where would I start from?
Well, the best thing to do is have a look in theatrical papers like Time Out and that. They do a lot of good courses that are pretty cheap. Places in London and all over the country, I think, where you can just go along with students. There are some good schools, but you need qualifications for a lot of them. So personally, I'd go for the courses because they're more inspiring anyway.
I see.
Thank you, caller. What did you say your name was again?
Adele.
From Hull?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I thought you sounded like a Scotsman for a moment.
Hey, you feel that physical discipline is very important, don't you? Why, do you think?
Oh, it's very important because our bodies are what we live in, and we keep our homes clean, so we should keep our bodies clean. And I think exercise wakes you up. I mean, if I don't do any exercise, my brain is asleep for most of the day. And if you just do a few sort of, you know, one, two, you feel much better. It's really wonderful.
So it's another thing you do besides writing songs and going to sleep.
Yeah.
Well, what sort of diet do you keep? Are you anything special?
Well, I'm a vegetarian, but I'm not very good about what I eat, actually. I'm not that disciplined. I like chocolate and rubbish. But I love vegetables.
Well, why are you a vegetarian?
Because I don't believe in eating life. I try to avoid eating life as much as I can. I mean, there are things that I eat that probably have fat in them and that. And to a certain extent, I wear certain leather things. But I just don't believe in us considering ourselves so superior that we just go around killing everything and eating it.
Were you brought up this way?
No, no. None of my family are really vegetarian, but it's just something I feel strongly about.
Yeah, you don't think it's just a phase?
Aye.
Well, we won't go on about that. It's music time, and before we have another of your choice, let's have one more question from Rochdale. Another one from Rochdale. John Wilkinson, good evening.
Good evening.
Hello, John.
I just wanted to ask, did you like listen to your own records?
No, I don't, actually. The only times I listen to them is when I've got a routine to work out. If I'm doing a TV or something, then I have to listen through it to work out the routine. That's the only time.
Yeah, and are there any plans for a Northwest concert?
For a what concert?
A Northwest.
Northwest. Well, they should be sort of publicised pretty soon where we're going, but we're covering most of England, so I'm sure we'll get to you.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Great.
Do you mind if I just said hello to a few people?
No, well, I'm afraid it's not one of those programmes, John.
Okay.
I'm sorry, mate, but it's not a request programme like that. No, I'll tell you what, we'll have another of your choices, Kate, and something you like from Steely Dan. Mm. Right.
Terrific.
Will you tell us what it is?
Well,
or
it's
tell
called
everybody.
Peg.
And why this one? Is it in the name, or what is it?
It's a brilliant song. They're wonderful musicians.
Okay, let's have a listen to them. Steely Dan and Peg. All right, there we go with Steely Dan and Peg, and you're listening to Personal Call, and Kate Bush is our guest. I noticed from your long list of records you gave us, Kate, which unfortunately won't be able to play all of them, but there were one or two with quite a deep jazz influence, like there was one with Billie Holiday. We've got another one later on, which we'll find that is the same. How heavily were you influenced by jazz?
I think Billie Holiday hit me very strongly when I first heard her. I just couldn't believe her voice.
Mm.
I mean, it just made me want to cry. Mm. It was just amazing. And she's very strongly jazz and blues.
Yes.
There is something about it that I love. Maybe it's the indulgence.
Right, well, that's the right of every composer, would you say, to be slightly self-indulgent at times?
Oh, yeah. I think that's unanimous, yeah.
Okay, we've got David Martin from Devon, in Tiverton in Devon. Good evening, David.
Hello.
Off you go.
Okay.
Hello, Dave.
How did you pick the name of Lionheart for your latest album, please?
Well, that was really from the title track, called O England, My Lionheart.
Yes.
And I just think it's a great word. It sort of means hero, and I think hero is a very cliched word. So I thought Lionheart would be a bit different.
Okay, I think all the record, all the songs on there are brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Great, thanks. Bye.
Thank you, David.
You're not a Leo by any chance, are you?
Yes.
Could that be something to do with it, too?
Yes, it could indeed.
Yes. We've got another caller on the line now, Wendy Pantis. Hello, Wendy, and hi, Wickham.
Hello.
Hello, Wendy.
Hello.
Hello, Kate. Both your albums seem to me to be very woman-orientated, like Room for a Life and The Warm Room. Would you say that you were for or against Woman's Lib?
I'm always getting accused of being a feminist, you know. Really, I do write a lot of my songs for men, actually. In fact, In the Warm Room is written for men, because there are so many songs for women about wonderful men that come up and chat you up when you're in the disco. And I thought it would be nice to write a song for men about this amazing female. And I think that I am probably female-orientated with my songs because I'm a female and I have very female emotions. But I do try to aim a lot of the psychology, if you like, at men.
That's very good.
Thank you.
Kate, where did you get your hair done?
My hair? I don't get it done anywhere. It does itself, I'm afraid.
Oh, lovely. I think it's terrific.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, mother. Susan Tracy from Harold Hill. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I just wondered what your middle name was.
My middle name?
Yeah.
I haven't got one, actually. I've got a confirmation name, but that's not really an official one, and that's Mary.
That's kind of mine. Right, fine.
All right. All right, Susan.
Thank you.
Marcus Wally from Leicester is there.
Hello.
Hello, Marcus.
Okay, I would like to ask you if the record, Strange Phenomena, on the kicking side,
yeah,
was prompted by any outside experience you've had.
Yeah, it's all about coincidences. And there's, in fact, a school of thought about that called, it's synchronicity. And it's about all the things that happen that are very similar and how one day all these really strange coincidences will happen to you. And a lot of these happen to me. Like, I'll be talking about something with someone and I'll go home and someone will ring me up about the same thing. And I think it's one of our phenomena, I must admit, yeah.
You do believe that mental vibrations can be transmitted from one person to another?
Yeah, I think by what you think and how you are, you attract things to you. I think if you're a very negative, unhappy person, a lot of negative, unhappy things could happen to you. And I really believe in that, yeah. Marcus, what do you think?
Well, I sometimes believe it. And then again, there's a lot of people who are there and don't believe it at all.
The difficult thing is it's scientific.
Yeah.
Data just can't prove it, can it? I think we ought to hear the song, actually.
Thank you.
Strange words, strange phenomena. It's interesting words. Soon it will be the phase of the moon when people tune in. Every girl knows about the punctual blues, but who's to know the power behind our moves? A day of coincidence with a radio and a word that won't go away. We know what they're all going to say. G arrives. Funny, had a feeling he was on his way. Marcus, have you had any strange coincidences happen to you like that?
Well, there's one happened this afternoon. We were discussing it in our RE lesson about ghosts and various strange things. And when I heard this programme was on, I thought I'd ask this question about the phenomenon and things. And I didn't realise that we'll be discussing it, so that's coincidence already.
Terrific.
Kate, can you remember any memorable coincidences like that?
Oh, dear. Well, they do happen a lot. Like, just being places and someone you haven't seen for years will turn up. Reading a book and seeing it in a shop and then seeing it on a bus, and they happen all the time, and it happens to everyone. I mean, people are just full of all these little things that happen to them.
It'd be wonderful to be able to explain it, but I suppose it would spoil it to some extent, wouldn't it, if you could explain it?
I think so, yes. I think you just have to accept it.
We've got another call on the line. Maybe it's on the same kind of subject. Barbara Clay of Halifax. Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
Is this the same kind of subject you're phoning about?
Well, in a way, yes, it is. I wanted to ask, Kate, if you could tell me what Omani Padu means.
Well, it's a Buddhist chant, actually, and I couldn't actually tell you what it means because, unfortunately, I don't practice Buddhism.
Oh, I
wouldn't. But it's a passion mantra, and it's really just a meditative chant that people use when they're in a state of higher being.
Oh, there was something else I wanted to ask when I was on the phone. I wanted to wish you all the best in the British Pop and Rock Awards.
Oh.
Because I think you'll clear the decks, you know.
Oh.
I wondered if you did live in Todmorden at all.
Well, I we're really going around England quite a lot, and I think Ed's going to give out some dates in a minute.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, did you ever live in Cadmaden?
Oh, no.
Oh, I see.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh. And there's something else I'd just like to say. I'm really sorry you don't put your foot on the heartbreak. It didn't make it. Because I thought it was fantastic.
Oh, great.
Yeah, were you upset about that at all?
What, you mean as a single?
Yes.
Well, that wasn't actually the single. It was Time of Horror that was the single.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't really get off the ground, did it?
No, it didn't, no.
I'm sorry, because I think all your music's so fantastic, you know.
Oh, thank you very much.
Anyway, thank you very much. Bye.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you. Thank you, caller. Actually, Kate, that brings me on to a question for you. How much say do you have in what is released by your record company?
Quite a lot, actually. Probably more than I'm entitled to. But we discussed it. I mean, it's not really me saying, oh, I want this, and then going, we want this.
Yeah.
We do come to a compromise and a discussion. It's quite human.
Quite amicable.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, those tour dates of yours, I've got a list. One or two people listening who'd like to have a moment to go and get a pencil and paper. So in about 5 minutes' time, it's now exactly 7:30, so at about 7:25, I'll give a list of Kate's tour dates in April, okay? So if you're interested, here, pen and paper, we'll be ready for those. Now, we've had Barbara Clay from Halifax, we've got Sylvia from Northumberland, haven't we, Sylvia?
Yes.
Good evening.
Hello, Kate. I was wondering, would you like to have lived in a different time? Because you tend to mention reincarnation.
No. Because I'm very happy in this particular lifetime, thank you. And I think all lifetimes have their own ups and downs, you know, and I'm really happy to be here. I think it's a good time.
Do you think you might have lived before, though, had some kind of previous life?
I don't know. It's very possible. But it's not the sort of thing you'd remember. And I just believe that souls as entities and people that work on themselves will come back in some form. All that energy just can't go. It's got to go somewhere.
Have you had a feeling, though, that ever you might have been born before?
I get feelings that I've done things before, and whether it was a past life or a future life or just something, I don't know. I get a lot of feelings, though, that when I'm doing something for the first time, that it's happened before.
I've had those feelings. I wish I could give them up sometime, don't I?
Yeah.
What was it? You thought you'd been one? Guillotine, doesn't it? Anyway, I thought I'd do a little bit of investigation, as you might have gathered by now, into reincarnation. And I started with a man called Dr. Leonard Wilder, and he's written a book called Lives to Remember. He's actually a dentist, and he uses hypnosis to treat his patients. But he's also, for some years now, been hypnotizing people for a different purpose, taking them gradually back through their lives, back through their childhood, right back to the time they were born, and then further back than that. And he's discovered that many people go back to what would seem to be previous lives, often with a complete change of voice, a change of accent, sometimes even a change of sex. And the first time he did this, some time ago, was with a London housewife called Peggy Bailey, who, in fact, when he took her back, furthest back in time, she actually produced three previous lives. She was, first of all, a young woman called Sally Fraser.
As Sally Fraser, she spoke with a deep Devon burr, and this was a young girl who lived round about the early part of the 18th century in Devon. She marries a man called Sam Barnes. She has children. They're a farming family. He dies, and then when she's in her late 60s, she dies from old age. Now, the interesting thing is that although I use modern words like doctor, when I say to her when she's ill and dying in bed, I say, does the doctor come and see you? She says to me in her deep Devon burr, oh, I don't know what you mean, she says, but the apothecary comes. And then I said, does he give you a prescription for medicine? Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, she said. He gives me potions and such like, he says, but they don't seem to do I no good. She dies, and then she is reborn round about the early part of the 19th century as a Cockney foundling. And she marries a man who is in the fruit business. She doesn't have a very healthy life, and when she's in her early 40s, she dies actually of angina. She's then reborn again in the latter part of the 19th century as Lady Alice Browning, and she's a spastic. She lives 20 years and then dies, and she has a very secluded, very confined life. This is all very exciting because Peggy Bailey in the present life, as I say, is a very ordinary person, and it's quite remarkable that someone like this could have produced all these things.
Do you think, Kate, if you were hypnotised, that you've... I mean, what do you think you might, perhaps, sort of life you might go back to?
I give away a lot of secrets, that's for sure. I don't know. I mean, I think that's a very, very interesting thing to do. And there have been a few books written by people that have gone through this sort of regression. I don't know if it's very healthy, actually. I personally wouldn't do it. I think it's very interesting, though. And I can't say about my past lives or whatever. I don't know.
Of course, it's the very foundation of the Buddhist religion, for example. They believe that the soul was never, ever born. It just is. It's eternal. It was never born. It'll never die. It'll go on reliving and reliving until eventually it finds a resting place and ultimately finds nirvana, where it doesn't have to be reborn anymore.
Mm.
But it's one interesting idea. I think that's beautiful. I think that's such a beautiful...
Yeah, but at the same time, they never swat a fly because it might be granny.
Well, another of Leonard Wilder's subjects was a lady called Janet Thompson, who you might know as Ruby from Upstairs Downstairs. And he took her back in time to May 1582, which is an important date. She was a young girl then called Mary, and her family, it seems, was somehow involved with Mary, Queen of Scots, who was at that time imprisoned. And historical records show that a servant was arrested with an incriminating letter revealing a plot to free Mary, Queen of Scots, at exactly the same time, which is May 1582. Which is, at the very least, a strange coincidence. But I asked Dr. Wilder if you could verify many of these cases by going back into historical records.
Well, a lot of the information that people give is usually through the eyes of the average peasant living in England anywhere between the early part of the 15th century and the latter part of the 19th century. But from time to time, they have come up with some rather interesting information. In the case of Peggy Bailey, who produced her first live of Sally Fraser, my wife Joan and I went down to Devon to do a bit of research. And we did in fact find a bridge over the which should have been a tributary of the River Lomond near the River Ex in Devon, and that she described. We eventually found this bridge in a field where this tributary had once been and has now dried up. Well, this was very exciting.
Right, well, we'll take another call now. Stephen Chamberlain's on the line from Hartlepool. Hello, Stephen.
Hello.
Have you had any psychic experiences?
No, but sometimes when I do things, I feel as if I've done it before. You know, I don't know if I've dreamt it or not. Before, you know?
Yeah. So it's the same kind of thing that your song's written about, Kate, really, isn't it? Deja vu and...
Yeah, that particular song is really about coincidences rather than deja vu, but... Deja vu is fascinating. It really is.
Does it worry you, Stephen, that you have these experiences?
No, not really.
You're not afraid of ghosts or spirits or anything?
No, I find them interesting.
That's all right.
When I was doing all this work, actually, I suddenly realised that although I'd love to prove it true, if it actually was proved true, I'd be terrified. In fact, I went to bed with the light on last night to do my work. Can we take another call?
Yes, I think Francesca O'Sullivan is there in Buckinghamshire.
Yes.
Hello, Francesca.
Hello. I'd just like to say, first of all, that to Kate, that I do a lot of writing myself, and while I'm writing, I play her records, and they really do influence me.
Really?
And I don't know, some of the tracks, and one in particular, Kashka from Baghdad.
Oh, great.
I'd like to ask you where you got it from.
What, the idea?
Yes.
Are you a songwriter, or a...
No, I write stories, actually, but the songs give me a lot of mood, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's fantastic.
I sit there with the earphones on, and my book in front of me.
Oh, how lovely. Well, Kashka from Baghdad, that actually came from a very strange American detective series that I caught a couple of years ago, and there was a musical theme that they kept putting in, and they had an old house in this particular thing, and it was just a very moody, pretty awful series thing.
Yeah.
And it just inspired the idea of this old house in, somewhere in Canada or America with two people in it that no one knew anything about, and being a sort of small town, everyone wanted to know what everyone else was up to.
Yeah.
And these particular people in this house had a very private thing happening.
Well, that's really interesting. That's really inspired me. Anyway, with another thing, in the first album, there are a couple of songs which I think are about having a baby. Is that true?
Yes, not actually having a baby, but yeah, The Kick Inside is about a lady who's pregnant.
Yeah.
Who's going to do herself in.
Does it mean much to you? I mean, the idea of having a baby.
I think that is one of the most incredible phenomena, again, of the world, you know, the fact that two people can produce another person. I think it's just incredible, and I think a lot of people don't respect that amazing thing enough. I think too many people treat it in a selfish way.
Yes, I think that's good, because I think that really comes through on this song.
Oh, great.
are you married, Francesca?
No, I'm not. No, I'm only 19.
So
I've started a really long time yet. Thank you, anyway.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you, bye.
Right, Philip Preston is in Canterbury. Hello, Philip.
Hello?
Yes?
Can I ask Kate something?
Sure, go ahead. That's all we're here for.
What was your most eerie experience, Kate?
My most what?
Eerie.
Eerie experience. Oh, I don't know. A lot of things happen. Sometimes in the recording studio, when you're out there alone with all the lights dim, you sort of feel very strange things sometimes. That can be quite eerie. You sometimes feel that maybe there's someone in the room with you, that sort of thing. But I haven't really had anything extremely eerie or horrible happen to me. I've had a really quite nice life, actually. I couldn't think of anything at the moment. I wish I could, Philip.
What about you, Philip? Anything eerie happened to you?
No, not yet.
Not yet? How old are you?
13.
Oh, you've got plenty of time. Thank you for the call.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right, it's 19 and a half minutes before 8 o'clock. I promised those tour dates, and here they come now. Kate's tour date's in April, and on April the 3rd, she's at the Liverpool Empire. On April the 4th, the Birmingham Hippodrome. On April the 6th, the Oxford New Theatre. On April the 7th, Southampton Gaumont. April the 9th, the Bristol Hippodrome. April the 10th, the Manchester Apollo. April the 12th, the Sunderland Empire. April the 13th in Edinburgh at the Usher Hall. And on the 16th, 17th and 18th, we'll all be rushing to see her at the London Palladium. So you'd remember all those dates, hadn't you, Kate?
Of course, of course.
She had them written on the back of her hand. All right, so if you want to see Kate Bush, those were tour dates, and I hope you're able to take them down. We're going back to calls now, and Jeff Woodfield's in Crick. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, on all the tracks of yours that I've listened to, I've detected an element of the supernatural. And from this, I wondered if you considered yourself to be at all psychic.
I don't think I'm psychic, but I think I have a slight advantage being a female to start with, because I think females are, I'm not saying they're more sensitive, but they just seem to be more open to certain areas like that. And I do get very strong feelings sometimes that do turn out to be true. Just feelings about friends, relatives, that sort of thing. But I think everyone gets them.
What, in your dreams?
Sometimes in dreams, yeah. But sometimes just feelings when you're sitting down and you suddenly think about someone, something's wrong, and you give them a ring and there is.
Well, I wish I could do that.
It doesn't happen much, but I think it happens to everyone. Everyone I know has had very similar experiences.
I think it's something mothers often feel about their children, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, that part of them, isn't it, really? Mm. Yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for your call from Crick in Northamptonshire. Mark Shepherd is up there in Birmingham. Good evening, Mark.
Good evening, Ed. Hi, Kerry.
Hello, Mark.
Do you believe in astrology?
I think there's a lot in astrology. I think it's a very ancient, well, mathematically planned out thing that a lot of people boo-hoo. And I think it's very unfair because there's a lot of very strong scientific knowledge in there. I think it's been commercialised a lot, which is why people become so cynical. But I think the fact that people are born at a certain time, on a certain day, with stars in certain positions is, you know, it's bound to have some effect on that person because we are ruled by everything around us.
So every morning when your morning paper comes, you grab it and sort of leaf through to your horoscope and see what your day's going to be like, and
oh, no.
You don't believe that?
No, I don't believe those. I think they're rubbish. They're just someone who's made a generalised commercial thing for the people to entertain themselves with. I think real astrology, there is something in it, yes.
Just another question. Originally, your hippodrome date was supposed to be for March the 4th, and it was put back a month. Why was that?
Well, that was because of our rehearsal time. And, in fact, none of these dates should have got out. That was due to someone who's a bit naughty along the line. But we're coming out in April.
Yeah.
All right, Mark, okay, if you're going to see us. Thank you very much for calling. Do you lead your life by any sort of set rules or set standards?
Oh, yeah. I have what I call my own religion. I think everyone's got their own religion. And there are just very certain things I stick by. Such as not eating meat, such as trying to be aware of people around me, and doing my work and trying to be positive about it. I think being positive is very important.
Good. I wonder if Jim Bellhouse is positive up there in Inverkeithy.
Very positive.
Very positive, are you, Jim?
Yes. Hello,
Eric.
Hello. There's just one thing I'd like to say just before I start talking to Kate. I'd like to, on behalf of myself and my family, to thank Radio 1 for making it possible that we're able to speak to Kate tonight. And I praise God, you know, because, I mean, there is only one, you know, and he's in charge of all of us. And I want to thank all the BBC and the trouble that they've gone to put in on this phone in.
Thank you. You're not the head of Radio Scotland, are you?
Well, you've heard of Brother Jim.
Anyway, Jim, thanks for your call. Was there anything you wanted to ask Kate?
Well, I would like to ask Kate, I believe I already have the answer. I would like to ask Kate if she believes in God.
Believe in God? Well, I think there are a lot of gods, and I certainly believe in my God, but I wonder if it's the same God as yours.
I believe it is. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ?
I believe in him, but he's not the one that I live my life by, I must admit.
We, as Christians, we do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know for a fact that if you believe in God, and he has it written that the only way to him is through the Lord Jesus Christ, then I believe that your God is the same God as mine.
If you believe in anything, I mean, God is really, I hate to say this because it sounds blasphemous, but God is in fact some kind of label for people to put all their belief and love into. And I think if people put all their belief and love into other people and what they're doing, then I think you do find it. I think you do reach an aim.
All right. Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Jim, for your call. We've got a load of calls on the line, so I'll have to cut you short there. But thank you very much for your interest.
Thanks, Jim.
There he goes. All right, back to you, Sue.
Of course, everybody has a different doctrine for the same, for their God. Talking about reincarnation again. Christians, of course, believe that this is the life which, depending on how you live it...
I mean, if I may butt in here, Sue, to say that, because we have a piece of music which is a favourite of yours from the late Buddy Holly.
Oh, he'll always live.
He'll always live, won't
he? Always.
Especially with this one. Lovely stuff. Thank you for that one, Kate.
Thank you.
Kate Bush is with us on personal call. It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. We're going down to Brighton on the south coast to say good evening to Malcolm Cooter.
Hello, Kate.
Hello, Malk.
Hello. I have two questions for you, actually.
Yes?
The first one is, are you really as mysterious as you seem on the telly?
Me, mate? Mysterious? What? No, I'm not mysterious.
So that's really just for the act, is it?
Well, when I'm performing, I become a role, and that role is not really me, because if I did what I do normally, it would be really boring.
Oh,
okay. I become a particular personality, and I try to. I'm much like the character. I'm really normal.
Really normal.
Yeah.
All right. Okay,
Malcolm. It's difficult for you to assume a role, because you said you didn't know whether you could be an actress. I mean,
no, I love it. I love it. I think I must be a terrible exhibitionist underneath my normalness.
Hello,
Kate. Hello, Jackie.
Can I ever go wrong on stage?
Do you ever go wrong? Well, I've yet to find out, actually, because this is my first tour, and I might well break a leg and lose an eye. I don't know, but things do go wrong occasionally, even on telly, and all you can do is cope with it. And it's very good. It's very good for you to try and cope with it.
Do you think you could send me some details of it, please?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. If you leave your address...
You leave your address with the girl on the end of the phone, and we'll do that for you. All right, Jackie?
Yes.
All right, then. Over to you, Leslie in Cardiff.
Hello, Keith.
Hello, Leslie.
How are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Oh, great, thanks. I just wanted to say, I think your album is a serious place in the box, really very good.
Oh, thanks.
I was reading in The Guardian, I think it was about a fortnight ago, and it said that you purposely cultivate a childlike voice, and this coupled with your explicit references to sex, for example, in Simply in Blue and to Feel It, you encourage your audience to act as voyeurs. Would you agree with that?
I don't know. It's a bit heavy, actually. I don't know. I guess, well, I think that's very flattering. And maybe I do. I think I'm probably quite calculating behind my creativity. Yeah.
But if you do, do you think it's fair?
Is anything fair? I mean, when I write a song, I don't sit here and think, let me see, how can I get through to this particular audience? I mean, when I write a song, I write the song, and I'm involved in it, and I don't think commercially or anything. But, you know, you do sort of aim certain things into a song.
Oh, that's very nice. At least you got mentioned in The Guardian.
Yeah, I didn't read that.
I don't know what I'm going to ask you. Who's your favourite author or book, and why?
Well, one of my favourite authors is Kurt Vonnegut, Jr. I think he's amazing. And the reason I love him is because it's science fiction. And I think his writing style is amazing because he couples humour with surreal things, and I think it's just brilliant.
Oh, good.
Thank you,
Leslie. We're going to Wales now. I think we've got Mike Giles and Abigail Venny. Hello, Mike Giles.
Yes.
Hello, Mike.
Hello. Good evening, Miss Bush. Yes. All I want to ask you is, how does it feel to be a sex symbol overnight?
Oh, I don't know. Tell me.
Well, I've heard many articles and seen you in several sort of pictures and whatnot. Do you feel that you are a sex symbol?
No, I don't at all. In fact, I think now I feel a lot more worried about how I look.
Yes.
And everything than I ever have done because of all this emphasis on the way I look.
Yes.
Because when I'm performing, I do have a very different way of looking than when I'm quite normal.
You must agree that certain of your tracks are a little bit, shall we say, erotic.
Ooh, shall we?
Sorry.
Yeah, I guess so, but what's wrong with that?
Well, I wondered if you felt that you were a sex symbol.
If people want to label me that way, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm not a sex symbol.
You're not.
It's very flattering for me to think that people even consider that, but
yes.
I have arousements and emotions as other people do, and I just happen to put them in my songs.
I see.
All right, Mike, I can assure you sitting here that she is sexy.
Yeah.
All right, and I'm one up on you there.
May
sorry.
I just talk about phenomena as well?
Well, we've got a few more calls, Mike, and I want to play another of Kate's choice of music, so if you don't mind.
Thank you.
All right, thanks good for calling.
Bye-bye.
And it's a song, actually, you've chosen called Nature Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you like this one so much?
Well, the first time I heard it was, in fact, George Benson's version.
Yeah.
And I thought, what an incredible song. And I happened to hear it by Nat King Cole.
Yeah.
And he, like Billie Holiday, I mean, his voice is just so beautiful.
So Nat King Cole, Nature Boy, and that was written by a man who's... That was his only composition. And
oh, that song
incredible.
And that guy's voice, the two together.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just beautiful.
Marvellous record. Let's go straight now to... Where are we going? Oh, we're going... Oh, we're staying here in London, to Amanda Cotton. Hello, Amanda.
Hello.
Hello, Amanda.
So, have you got any ambitions?
Ambitions? Oh, I've got so many. I want to do everything. Yeah.
What are the main ones, though?
Well, all I want to keep doing is what I'm doing now and just try to get better because I've got a long way to go. I want to keep writing songs and singing, and I'd like to keep training as a dancer because that really makes me feel good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And our last caller probably for today is Pierre Craddock in Cornwall. Pierre.
Hello, Kate.
Hello, Pierre.
On your album Lionheart and The Kick Inside, there's a symbol on the actual kite on the back of the album and on the box on the front of the album.
Oh, you noticed?
Yes. Are they any sort of semblance?
Well, what in fact it is, it's a KT.
It's a TK or KT.
A KT, and it's sort of two things. That actual sign is an old Knight Templar's sign. And round the countryside, you'll find it scattered on doorways of churches and things. And it was just very fitting because I used to be in a band called the KT Bush Band. KT.
Yeah.
And it's just a theme that we've kept running. It's a sort of motto.
All right, Pierre, does it answer the question? So we've got one more call to go. Thanks for yours. Heather Norrit from Ryan, Sussex.
Hello.
Hello.
I'd just like to ask you, who would you most like to meet?
Who would I like to meet most? Oh,
well, I'm here.
Quite a few people. I've met him, he's here, yeah. I'd love to meet David Bowie.
David Bowie?
I'd love to meet him, yes. Oh. And I'd really like to have met Groucho Marx, but I'm too late.
And I'd just like to say that I agree with a girl earlier that you'll definitely knock them all out of the pop panel for England.
Thank you.
Right, thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, Kate, our time is nearly up. We'd like to thank you for being our very first guest on Personal Call.
My pleasure, it's been great.
It's been quite a grilling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, but you cope marvellously. I know there's lots of listeners tonight who haven't been able to get through to you. But I'm sure that most of the questions have been answered, and thank you for being so sympathetic with all the questions and answers. But
well, thank you for them all to ring in. It's really nice to hear.
It's been really
you.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we'd like to go out with your latest single, which is a wow. Right?
Yeah.
So we'd like to, we'll start that as I just close with the credits for this evening and thank everybody who's called in. We'll be back at the same time next week between 7 and 8 for Personal Call. Tomorrow night, by the way, Anne Nightingale will try to read out some of your letters on Wednesday evening for her special mailbag. So don't forget that for tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And next week we'll be with you on Personal Call. Thanks to Sue Cook and thanks to everybody in the production studio. Most of all, thanks to you, Kate Bush.
Thank you. Take care.